I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. It's the most wonderfully expensive time of the year, and people say they're ready to spend big. A new survey from MassMutual shows consumers are planning to spend $1,243 on average on holiday-related purchases. Despite rising inflation, 73% of adults surveyed say they feel optimistic about their finances. 35% say they're feeling very optimistic about their finances, up from 27% in July. Lowe's beat analyst expectations for quarterly earnings as the company got a bump in business from home professionals and online sales. The home improvement retailer also raised its forecast, and shares are up 1.1%. One of the last portraits by Frida Kahlo has broken records. Her 1949 self-portrait sold for $34.9 million at Sotheby's in New York last night, the highest price ever paid for Latin American art. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 168. The NASDAQ is down 10. And that's Your Money Now.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that we can give our daughters everything they need to grow and learn. But not every child can focus on classes and play dates.
Nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. face hunger. That's one in six. School lunch might be their only meal each day. And it's heartbreaking to imagine any child going to bed hungry. We're dreaming of a perfect day when kids can smile, play, and just be kids without worrying about where their next meal will come from. Feeding America is working to make that perfect day a reality.
Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste. That food is given to families and children in need. Being a kid should be about doing things that make an ordinary day extraordinary. Learning to play an instrument, building a sandcastle, hosting tea parties. Hunger should never be an obstacle to growing up.
You can help end childhood hunger in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The views and opinions expressed here on the Pensacola Expert Panel are not those necessarily of News Radio 92.3 1620, but those of Terrence A. Gross of Gross & Schuster, attorney at law.
You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 at AM 1620. If you have a question, 850-437-1620 is the number to text or to call. Joining me now on the phone is Terrence A. Gross with Gross & Schuster. Good morning, Terrence.
Good morning. Most of our listeners know that I'm a personal injury lawyer, been a personal injury lawyer for 42 years. But when I first started out, 75% of what I did was criminal defense. So I had quite a criminal practice until I decided around 1985 to switch to totally personal injury. I even taught criminal procedure at Pensacola Junior College back in the day. So I'm very familiar with it. And every now and then, I like to take a vacation from my personal injury topics and talk about current cases that are going on that could be outside my field. So I am not a criminal defense lawyer anymore, but of course I know criminal law and I follow it. And so there's two cases that are going on right now. You just talked about one of them over the break at the news, and that's the Rittenhouse case, and that's the one up north where the young man, 17 years old, in Wisconsin, of course, we could argue what he was up to, but he's 17 years old, he had an AR-15, and he went to this town, Kenosha, wherever it was, allegedly, according to him, to help protect citizens, because there were riots going on. There was mayhem and so forth. So he shows up, and this whole scene, and they did a good job at trial of painting this thing. This was pandemonium out there. People are running around. Fires are being set. The officers are overwhelmed. Store owners are just scared for their property and livelihood. So all this is going on. It's almost like a carnival atmosphere, anything but quiet. But here's this young kid. So, A, was he some vigilante out to get anybody and whatever? Or was he some good kid that was trying to do the right thing and help out people and then got confronted and shot people in self-defense? So I have not watched the trial, of course. I got to practice law, but at night I come home and I, like everybody else, I watch the news and I've seen excerpts. I've actually seen portions of the trial that they've played on the news stations, and there was a gotcha moment. You know, it's funny, if you go all the way back to O.J., probably the gotcha moment in O.J. was when the prosecutor screwed up and thought he had a great idea. Let's get O.J. to put the glove on, because we think it's O.J.'s glove. It's going to fit. O.J. is going to, you know, fit perfectly, and therefore O.J. has to be the owner of the glove and therefore guilty. But when the whole thing went down, O.J. struggled to get this glove on. Either he feigned it, or maybe the glove shrunk. If it was bloody, maybe it shrunk or whatever, but it backfired. That tactic backfired. So here in this trial of Rittenhouse, they put on the surviving. Three people were shot by Rittenhouse. Two died, and the other fella that survived, I think he was hit in the arm by the blast. And in the middle of his testimony, under cross-examination by the defense, the defense lawyer says, "Isn't it true, sir, that you pointed your weapon at Mr. Rittenhouse right before he fired?" And the guy looked at the defense lawyer and goes, "Correct." The courtroom got quiet. I mean, all the air. He admitted to pointing a gun at Rittenhouse right before. So that dovetails into a self-defense argument. So let's talk a little bit about self-defense. And self-defense pretty much should be the same, give or take, with every state. So I don't know Wisconsin law by any stretch of the imagination, but self-defense basically is what we call an affirmative defense. It means you first have to admit the crime. So obviously there's no question that Rittenhouse is the one that shot these people. He absolutely killed the two people and shot this other fella. But self-defense says you could admit the crime, but if it is believed that you did so with the subjective, and that means in your mind, in Rittenhouse's mind, the subjective fear that you are going to be harmed, that you have a right to defend yourself. And so that's what they're going for, all the marbles in this case. But when you've got a star prosecution witness that says under oath that, yes, it's correct, I pointed a weapon at Mr. Rittenhouse first before anything happened, that's not good for the prosecutor. And what I did see was really weird. Then the next day, the same witness who's already finished testifying, now he's on TV, which I can't believe there wasn't a gag order, but he's on TV saying, well, it's not quite the same. It just came out wrong at trial, whatever. But you know, the jury doesn't hear this. So as far as what the jury's heard a living witness has admitted to who was with these other two fellas pointing a gun at him. And then, of course, I think it also helps Mr. Rittenhouse's age has to help him a little bit. He was 17 at the time. He's only 18 now. He did testify. A lot of times defense lawyers never want their clients on the stand, but he took the stand. He was certainly emotional about it. And sort of, you know, he looks older than 18 and he's kind of biggish. He came off as a little scared boy to me at what I saw the excerpts at trial. And so now the jury is there's 12 people determining. And, you know, I've also heard from another pundit that maybe the prosecutor just went too far in charging, you know, first degree this, first degree that, and maybe should have done something less, more like a manslaughter type charge. You know, I would think this, given what I've just said, and I haven't seen everything, I don't know everything, it just seems like the door is open. The door is open for an acquittal of the most serious charges. Now, at the last minute, the prosecutor saw that the case was maybe going down the tubes, and they're trying to amend to add lesser includeds, you know, to give the jury some kind of compromise verdict. That possibly could happen. I mean, I don't think he's going to get off scot-free because, A, I presume they charged him with illegal possession of a firearm. He was 17. He can't possess it. He got a friend to buy the firearm and all that. And the jury's still going to know, wait a second, what normal, reasonable person would insert themselves into this? I mean, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't, even if mayhem's going, like, do you go in and become a vigilante? Do you? So he didn't even live there. He traveled to this town with the AR-14, a military-style type weapon, and was going across the streets doing whatever he was doing. He said he did put himself in harm's way, but at the magic moment, was he confronted by these people and cornered and trapped, and there were witnesses? So I don't think he's going to be found guilty of the most serious charges. There may be lesser included that may be some kind of compromise verdict. Sometimes that's what juries do. They compromise and so forth. I just don't know. I don't know what the verdict looks like. I don't know how many counts went to the jury. But the most serious charges, the first degree this and first degree that, I think there's been a compelling case made of self-defense in this particular instance. I think if there ever was a self-defense case, it sure sounds like it. And I think the defense did a good job at dovetailing it, and it certainly hurt the prosecutor when their star witness kind of – I don't know if he changed his testimony or surprised them, but I don't think they anticipated that big question. And I saw it. It was just, you know, they kept them playing it over and over on TV. So that's got to be pretty compelling. So I think he makes a sympathetic defendant being his age. I think there is evidence in the record for the jury to take that into account. And then the rest is up to the jury, and you never know what these people are thinking about, you know, and whatever. But, you know, it was a unusual circumstance. You don't think of Wisconsin being some kind of showcase for a riot, but that's what was going on, just sort of like out of control, just, you know, like we saw in Portland. We all saw these different riots going across nationwide at about that time. So in that scenario, I think the defense did a good job of painting this picture. They brought other witnesses, just all the pandemonium. This wasn't like some kind of quiet street. This wasn't Pensacola, Florida during gallery night. This was just mayhem. And that one of the victims, they said, I think was walking around with a big chain, very menacing before, and other people had noticed him, that, and a very menacing person. That was one of the people. So it wasn't like he just shot some guy walking down the street. It just wouldn't surprise me if there, I don't know about acquittal across the board, because again, I don't know all the lesser included that went to the jury, and juries do compromise, whether it's a criminal case or civil. But at the end of the day, I think the most serious charges, I think, could be exonerated. Could be wrong. Know nothing about these jurors. Know nothing about jury selection. Those are my thoughts. Are you still there?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very interested in everything you have to say. In fact, a lot of people are texting in right now that this has a lot of good information. They're loving that you're talking about this, bringing so much light to everything happening within the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. And if you'd like to hop on into the conversation, 850-437-1620 is the number to text, or you can call. Terrence A. Gross is here with Gross and Schuster, sharing his thoughts and his perspective about, yes, the national case that we are all kind of witnessing in Terry, it's kind of difficult. I spent some time the other day watching the trial, and it was overwhelming because, yes, he does look a little bit older, but he's still a kid. And there's a lot of things that could have prevented this entire thing from happening. But when it comes down to us, yeah, you see the self-defense in all of it.
Yeah, but still, where the problem the defense has is, A, it wasn't like he was from this town. It wasn't like he legally had a rifle or it was his father's store. So he really, it was an effort on his part. I mean, his friend got him the weapon. He brings the weapon. So what do you bring this weapon for? And what is your game plan? And you're coming to a town that you don't even live in, and right, immersing yourself in a bad situation. So he put himself right in the middle of a bad situation. So, and that's where he's culpable, but But again, all these things we've talked about, why don't we switch gears and unless there's questions being asked on text. Now, if anybody is texting you with a question, I'll address it. But let's. It's amazing this is going on right now because right now, and I may mispronounce the name, but I'm going to call it Albury, and that's the Georgia case. And it's going on right now as we speak, too. And it's self-defense once again. Another murder, another self-defense, and it's being tried simultaneously. The jury is out to deliberate Rittenhouse. Albury, they're still, presenting evidence, and I haven't seen as much on this, but I'm familiar with this case because I remember when it happened. And so it just all depends whose side you're listening to. So apparently there was essentially what we'll call a white neighborhood, and there was arguably there had been some break-ins. There was a house that was either being built or under reconstruction that nobody lived in, that apparently there's no question that Albury was in because there's actually videotape. They actually had surveillance inside the house, so you could see Albury in there. He's not doing anything. He's not stealing. He's just kind of looking around inside this house under construction. But I've done that before. I walk in my neighborhoods all the time, and if there's a house under construction, I'm going to go in there and just take a look to see how they're doing. And you're just looking at the floor plan and seeing what these people are doing. And I've done that before. My wife and I used to do that a lot, really, with houses under construction. So there's nothing criminal about that. So meanwhile, apparently he's jogging. And then you got a father and son in a pickup truck with their neighbor who's videotaping. So apparently they confront him. Now, this is where it gets a little sketchy because there was some videotape, but you don't have videotape all the way through the shooting. But apparently they say he threateningly approached them, which, again, they're armed. He's not armed. He's jogging. There's no question he was not armed. And then he's gut shot and just dies at the scene. So that case for the defense is not as clean as Rittenhouse. So you got these guys that were, again, vigilantes. I mean, if you felt somebody was breaking into your neighbor's house or something, what would I do? I call the police. There's a suspicious person here. I don't know if they belong here, and call the police. But no, these people get out in their pickup truck and search for this person with weapons, shotguns, and you got the neighbor guy videotaping. So I would say, though, you can't treat all three of these people. They're all charged of, I think, first-degree murder, but I don't know. I mean, because obviously I think it was a father and a son that were in the truck with the guns. I think it was maybe the son that did the shooting, and the father was there. And then do you charge the neighbor that was videotaping that maybe could have done something? Is he as culpable as the shooter? So all these things, so there may be different results, but they're arguing self-defense too. I don't like that case as much as just academically as a former defense lawyer. Were they threatened? They're up in a pickup truck. They could have driven away. How is he threatening? They're pointing. I mean, it just doesn't sound like a self-defense case. So I'm predicting and some convictions there. But again, the guy filming, I just don't know his level of involvement, and whatever. There is also something out there I want the public to know. Now, I can't speak for Georgia law, just like I can't speak on Wisconsin law, but I can speak on Florida law. And Florida has something called the felony murder doctrine. So let's pretend me and my buddy go into a liquor store to rob it. We're going to rob it. I don't have a gun. I know my buddy has a gun, but he says, "Don't worry, Terry, I'm not going to shoot anybody. I'm just going to point the pistol and we'll get the money. Don't worry, we're just going to rob and get away." Well, we go in there, and the next thing I know, my buddy shoots and kills the guy at the cashier for no good reason, shoots him. I didn't shoot anybody. I didn't think anybody was going to shoot anybody. I never would have shot anybody. I'm not even a violent person. But under the felony murder doctrine in Florida that's been on the books for decades and decades and decades, it says if you participate in a felony with a co-defendant and a victim dies, that you could be charged with murder too, even though you're not the one that pulled the trigger. And there's even cases out there where the cashier shoots your buddy and killed the cashier, shoots your co-defendant, and you could still be charged with felony murder of your co-defendant because you were committing a felony and someone died. It doesn't have to be the victim. It could actually be a co-defendant. And I've seen, so that's called felony murder. So maybe going back to this Georgia case with the guy videotaping, I'm sure they got separate lawyers, and his lawyer is going to try to distance himself as much as he can from the other two yahoos driving around the pickup truck with the shotguns. So he could, whatever. But he could get, if you're wondering how could he be found guilty of murder, it could be because I'm sure most states have something similar to that felony murder statute. That's a pretty common thing, and it wouldn't surprise me if Georgia has something similar to that, where if you're part of some group, call it a conspiracy or not, that you maybe could be found at fault even though you didn't pull the trigger. So that's, if you're wondering how in the world could the guy videotaping even be charged, that may be why he's charged. But again, was he committing a felony? So I think he's got a better path to being found not guilty. If he didn't have a gun and he didn't know these people were going to shoot, I think his lawyer certainly has a much better chance of getting vindication. But I think the shooter's toast. I think whoever pulled the trigger is going to be convicted of, I think first-degree murder, really. I mean, or at the least second. I mean, first degree is premeditated, but it's certainly aggravated. I just don't have much sympathy for these people, loading up in shotguns. You got the guys jogging. They're saying, we thought he had a weapon. Well, why would you be confronting something about it? If you really thought they had a weapon, even with you, why would you confront, and what were the police ever called beforehand? I don't think they were. So afterwards, yes. So I think those are totally different cases than the Rittenhouse. So Rittenhouse, I think he's going to be acquitted of the most serious charges. What the lesser included are, I don't know. What I heard was the prosecutor was really going for the home run all along and didn't have lesser included because they didn't want to let the jury compromise. Then when they saw how weak their case is, they would come running back at the last minute trying to get the lesser included on the verdict form. I don't know if they even succeeded with that. I mean, again, I got to work, so I can't follow it the way I would if I was retired. So I'm not even sure if the judge even allowed them to put last minute lesser included on the verdict form. So we'll see. But again, we'll see them, and we're going to have two verdicts. We should have a verdict today or tomorrow on Rittenhouse. They're out. They deliberated 9 hours yesterday. They're deliberating now. It's 12 people. Now, remember, unlike a civil case, I do personal injury. It has to be unanimous with personal injury cases. With something like a criminal case, it has to be unanimous. You can't have a compromised verdict, so it can't be like 10 to 2 or something. So it could end up being a mistrial, and a mistrial could be a hung jury. When you hear hung jury, that would be a mistrial. If there's just one juror that holds out, So I just can't fathom a Rittenhouse having 12 people, based on what we've seen and what they saw, convicting him of this most serious charges. I don't think 12 people would do that. I could be wrong. We'll find out. We'll know next week.
Yeah, it seems like it's heavy. I'm not gonna lie, Terry. It's very heavy. This young man, his entire life was changed by these decisions. And I shared the other day here on the Pensacola Expert Panel, and we're about to close out our time with Terrence A. Gross with Gross and Schuster. But I did share, it was a little alarming. My biggest thing was when I learned that his mother drove him to Kenosha. And I was thinking, man, there's a lot of things that could have been avoided with just having that proper positive influence in your life. So we need to be that for others. But Terry, we're winding down our time here. How can we contact you in order to reach out to us for services at Gross and Schuster?
Yeah, again, we do personal injury. I talked about criminal, but we're personal injury lawyers, 850-434-3333, or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Thank you, Terry. Appreciate that. Many of you texted in. You really enjoyed the information coming through with Terry. I appreciate all of that he brings every week. We have our law talk right here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Hey, coming up tomorrow, we've got a jam-packed show just for you. Tune in at 9 a.m. We're going to talk some community service that you can be a part of. I'll talk to you then. Have a great day.